organization. She added that Letitia James had filed the motion for contempt without warning, seemingly in an effort to turn this matter into a public spectacle. But lawyers for Letitia James's office said in a court on Monday, 25th of April, that over the course of the investigation, they had received only 10 documents from Donald Trump's files, and that Donald Trump himself had not turned over any documents in response to the December subpoena addressed to him personally. Furthermore, one of Letitia James's lawyers said Alina Haber had not provided an adequate description of the search for relevant documents. The lawyer, Andrew Armour, mentioned a number of relevant files known to his office, including those kept in storage closets and file cabinets at Trump Tower. Kevin Wallace, another lawyer with Letitia James's office, called for those locations to be searched by a third-party organization, Haystack ID, which has overseen the Trump Organization's production of documents in the case. Alina Haber repeated in court that the Trump Organization had searched the locations in question. But New York Judge Arthur Engoron said that explanation was insufficient, coming from Ms. Haber in court alone. She would have to attest to the fact that search took place and describe it in the sworn statement to be filed with the court. After Justice Arthur Engoron ordered that Donald Trump be held in contempt of court, a lawyer for Mr. Trump's team said that Haystack ID would do a review of Donald Trump's physical files. In a separate case in federal court, Donald Trump sued Letitia James, seeking to halt her civil inquiry and have her removed from the Manhattan District Attorney's criminal investigation. That case is currently ongoing.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners, welcome to your own program, A Muslim Lady, where we have been discussing so many various important issues regarding Muslim lady. I hope you have enjoyed all our discussions, and I also hope you will benefit from today's discussions. I'm Farman Ali Masumi, and with me in our studios, my wife, Raldia Batul Najafi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Muslim society is truly expecting from a truly Muslim lady to be extremely and very nicely, very extremely means modestly and moderately active in a society too, means very productive. And her role in politics and in sciences and everything should be based with knowledge, with wisdom. Maybe you can't believe it, Mr. Masumi, that we have some sayings and ahadith which says in the time of reappearance, when our final imam will come, the level of wisdom and knowledge and the level of advance in science, especially for women, would be so high that every woman somehow would be able to decide, to take decision according to the teaching of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Like, you know, nowadays we say, oh, she is faqiha, she is alima, like she's so learned, she knows about her responsibilities, her rulings, you know, she's not ignorant, she knows everything, she knows Quran, she has hold on all this divine, you know, knowledge and books. So that kind of person has a very good status. So when the final imam will come, you know, this is the expectation which even now in major occultation Islam and Muslim society has from women, that me as a Muslim member of the society, I have to know, I have to have a very bright and full of wisdom lifestyle. If you have something to please share, otherwise I will give you some examples.
Definitely, when we talk about the reappearance of our last imam, Imam Mahdi, jalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, definitely there are a lot of ahadith which speak about the role of Muslim women in the reappearance of Imam Mahdi, jalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif.
Beautiful. You know, like from 313, how many?
Yeah.
How many of them are women? 50. 313 companions, not companions,
the
ministers.
Such an amazing thing.
Yeah, the ministers.
Because 313, these will be the commanders and the leaders. You know,
so the leadership you can see in women.
So 50 women will be amongst the commanders of Imam Mahdi, ajallallahu ta'ala.
Beautiful, beautiful. And that is the expectation, and we have to prepare.
This is the true role a Muslim lady can play. It shows the great respect our Islam has given to ladies.
And you can't believe it, like these three ladies, Lady Hakima, the daughter of Imam Jawad, Lady Hamida, the mother of Imam Kazim, and also one more lady, her name is Lady Hudaysa, the grandmother of Imam Zaman, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. These three ladies also played a very political, very active role for the major occultation, for Imam Mahdi to go behind the curtain, and they were somehow playing this role, some of them as a wasi and a successor,
representative
of imam of the time.
Yeah.
You know, like their duty was so crucial and very, very vital, because
keeping in mind the situation of that
exactly.
time, it was very, very, you know, dangerous
tough, yeah.
and tough.
Critical.
To reach to imam or to, you know, spread his message.
Mm.
So we are going to have a short break. Please, listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned. Inshallah, we will come back soon.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Lady Zainab Salamul Aleha, she was the representative of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you know. So, you know, what it shows that as a woman, she has that ability to reach to that level. But there's no need, you know, there's no need in society. There's no need when man is there. But when it comes to such a very, very critical situation and circumstances, like when Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he has to be saved. When Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, you know, his life is in danger. So that, you know, that moments, we can see that the status and the role of a woman, especially in politics, become very highlighted.
Definitely, when we study the history of all our a'imma, the 12 imams from Imam Ali till Imam Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, there are so many women, they have played so many vital roles as a representative, as a leader, as a messenger, as a, you know, a social worker. So it shows that Islam, especially the Shi'i Islam, is paying so much attention towards the progress of women, you know, mentally, health-wise, and physically, socially.
And not only that, like, she should be a great supporter for her family, you know, mentally, especially psychologically and emotionally. She can support her husband, you know, especially emotionally. And I remember this amazing saying about Lady Khadijat al-Kubra, salamullahi alayha, that kana yaskunu ilayha. Like, our Prophet used to get so much peace, you know, mental peace by Lady Khadija, salamullahi alayha.
Spending time with her.
And not only that, he, it means our Prophet, he used to take some suggestions, some ideas from Lady Khadijat al-Kubra, salamullahi alayha. So, you know, her role, yeah, independently is there. Like Lady Umm Salma, one of the wife of our Prophet, also history has written her amazing suggestions towards Rasulullah. And Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is just listening to her and applying to her suggestions. So we have many evidence and many beautiful examples in our history.
So a Muslim society has so many expectations from a Muslim lady in different aspects of life, like politically, socially, whatever field men can play their role in their societies, women can also play, but keeping the qualities, their own abilities in mind. So Islam, so many times we have said, Islam never says that the women are not allowed to come and play a role in their society. In the Holy Book, so many verses, they speak about the financial issues of ladies, women, as we recited the beautiful verse of the Holy Quran. Like this, there are so many other riwayat and ayat, verses, which clearly speak that they have their own independent incoming. They can play a very useful role in their societies. For example, Even our fuqaha, they say in some areas, if a Muslim society needs a role, and that role only can women can play, so it is wajib for women to play that role. For exactly. example, after you are living in a society where there isn't any female Muslim lady doctor, so it becomes wajib upon all the ladies of that society to become doctor. Yeah, we say wajib kifai. So you can think, you can understand from this verdict that playing a role becomes wajib for a woman.
Yeah.
We have to come out in the society and being within your limits, we should play a role, whatever role our Muslim society needs. So these are the expectations a Muslim society has from a Muslim lady.
And the biggest and the most biggest and the biggest one is to pay attention, especially on children's, you know, her family.
Yeah.
Like, she can be very beneficial for the society, yeah? But if she's neglecting her children, then what? Then she'll become the source of so many harms
Definitely.
In the society, yeah?
When she herself comes in the society and plays a role, she's alone. She plays a single role.
Yeah.
But she upbrings a whole family, so many great children. They are beneficial. They play a very important role in the society. Means she is playing a team's role.
Generations role.
Generations and generations.
After generations.
So how important this role is for her.
Yeah.
Being a trainer of human beings.
Exactly.
You know, in our modern era, we become, after studying so many years, we become trainer of a certain small area. For example, hardware, trainer of a hardware, or trainer of our bodies.
Yeah.
A specific small trainer.
Exactly.
But look at women's
ability.
And role as a human mind trainer, human
Beautiful.
Being trainer.
Yeah, therefore, you know, sometimes I've seen on Instagram some young ladies, they have posted that, oh, man, you can just carry some weight, but we can carry a human being,
yeah.
you know. We can expect a human being in our tummy. So we are more like stronger than you because you can't carry that. So these are the way of saying that. Unfortunately, why we don't understand that our core of our duty, you know, as a Muslim lady, and therefore Muslim society is expecting from us to be present, quality present, you know, and full of charm and, you know, energy at our house, then if you have extra some energy, then you can cope. You know, if you can cope
you
very
can,
easily, you have to be very, very beneficial for your society.
Yeah.
Otherwise, not. Because, you know, some ladies, they are physically a bit weak. So and they are under pressure that, no, I have to work. I have to earn something. For what? You are earning, for example, gold. And losing your diamonds means you are your family.
Yeah,
so that is a very, you know, foolish treatment.
Yeah. So our Muslim ladies, I think they should know how great they are, how great role they can play. They have to study this. They have to get enough knowledge. Then they can get this confidence. With confidence, they can say, I am a great trainer. Unfortunately, nowadays, when we see in different interviews, when they ask ladies, what is your job? They feel embarrassment and they say, I'm jobless. I'm just a housewife. Yeah. Whereas Islam proudly says that a housewife's job is the greatest of jobs.
Yeah, no doubt. No
doubt. The most noble job you have. We are coming to end of this episode. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you, dear listeners, for being with us. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us contemplate on a short but sweet saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The tongue is a wild beast. When it's let loose, it devours.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. with the light.
Japanese researchers have developed chopsticks that artificially create the taste of salt. They have done this as part of efforts to reduce high levels of sodium intake in Japan. The utensils look like a typical pair of chopsticks, but with a cable and a mini computer worn on the person's wrist. A mild electrical current transmits sodium ions from food through the chopsticks and into the user's mouth. This enhances the taste of salt, requiring less of it in food to achieve the same good taste.
To prevent severe lifestyle-related diseases or to prevent these diseases altogether, we need to reduce the amount of salt we take regularly. Japanese people tend to ingest a large amount of salt in their diet. If we try to avoid taking less salt in a conventional way, we would need to endure cutting out our favorite foods from our diet or endure eating bland food.
The chopsticks have already been clinically tested. Participants say the device enhanced salty taste of low-sodium food by roughly 1.5 times. The engineers are currently refining the chopsticks and hope to commercialize the product next year. The product was jointly developed by Meiji University professor Homei Miyashita and a beverage holding company. Miyashita is best known for his creation of a TV screen that can imitate various flavors.
A museum in France is hosting treasures of Peru, including the famed Machu Picchu, in a unique experience where technology meets archaeology. Visitors can immerse themselves in a vertical tour of Machu Picchu Citadel and see an exclusive exhibit of Peruvian archaeological objects. The collection is arranged chronologically, passing through the extraordinary diversity of some 13 cultures. The collection displays 200 artifacts spanning three millennia, dating as far back as 1500 BC. A large part of the exhibit is dedicated to Peru's Machica civilization with their vase portraits and red ceramics. The museum's curator says the goal was to show that pre-Columbus Peru was far deeper than just the Inca era. Iran's National Museum is displaying a collection of artifacts that was stolen decades ago, but has finally returned home after a long legal battle. The items, which include sacred figurines, pots and jars, date back to more than 3,000 years ago. They were stolen and sent to the West more than four decades ago. In 1991, the British Museum was seeking to buy the collection from a smuggler residing in Switzerland. The objects, however, were seized by Swiss police and revealed in court in 2008. Since then, Iran had been trying to get the stolen treasures back home.
Under pressure from the Iranian diplomatic apparatus and the official complaints of the National Museum in 2015, the legal process continued, and finally on December 20, 2020, the collection returned to us.
The collection belongs to the northwestern city of Bukhan, which was the home of Manians around the 10th to 7th centuries BC. The Manians were one of the first nomadic tribes to build cities in that area. The director of Iran's National Museum says the effort to recover other stolen artifacts continues. The country is now holding talks with the US and Australia to return ancient objects smuggled over there.
How long could you work at your job? In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor before moving into administration and later on into the sales management Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Othman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do. And there, you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here, and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Othman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Othman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Agriculture is no exception when it comes to adapting new technologies in the context of changing climate. Now, French farmers in the northwestern suburbs of Paris grow greens in any season using hydroponic farms. Residents of a housing estate have ditched the traditional way of farming to create jobs for their community. Hydroponic farming is a method of growing plants in water, not in soil. It may sound like it would be a complicated process, but it's actually quite straightforward. The system is made of plastic and uses a rich organic ecosystem. The workers use less water than usual and do not even need a teaspoon of soil. One of the employees describes how they turn barren land into a farm.
It used to be a garage where they stored cars, but since there were no more cars, we used it as a dormitory. We listened to music and watched football matches. We used to meet here to have a bit of privacy and breathe, to hide away for a while. But now that it's become a place of work, I'm happy because I'm working.
Hydroponic farms can be used to grow products of all kinds in any region. In this one, farmers are planting all sorts of things, ranging from Peruvian mint to Vietnamese coriander. They hope that the system can be used to help local residents, especially those who need it the most. Magic returns to Belgium with a purple carpet of bluebells covering the undergrowth of Hallerbos woods near Brussels. Each spring, this beech forest turns into a bluebell spectacular, turning the area into a natural wonderland. Millions of these blooming flowers sprout up across the 550-hectare woods, filling the air with their sweet aroma. The short but enchanting blooming phase offers nature enthusiasts a one-of-a-kind experience.
It is an outstanding and magical place because whenever we come, there's an amazing atmosphere. The sunrise was truly beautiful this morning, and we know this offers the opportunity to take great photos and decorate our house. It is a great comfort during these tough times.
Visitors can stroll the winding paths and watch rabbits and deer wandering through the woods. The forest floor blooms for a period of 7 to 10 days. After this time, leaves begin to grow on the trees above them, blocking the sunlight from reaching the flowers. The phenomenon of bluebell forest is not uncommon in Europe, but the Hallerbos greenery is unique for the density and beauty of its blossoms. A huge pink moon has glowed over Chilean skies, mesmerizing stargazers and ordinary citizens alike. The full moon was completely visible over the capital, Santiago. The celestial phenomenon is called a pink moon, as it appears in April, and is named after an American plant, pink plot, that blooms in spring. The pink moon will shine during the weekend through early Monday and may be visible in most parts of the world. The phenomenon also marks the calendar for different religious festivities around the globe.
Sunny skies and spring temperatures made for the perfect setting for the 65th birthday of Fatu, the world's oldest gorilla living at Berlin Zoo. At this age, the Western lowland gorilla is what Berlin Zoo calls almost something of a legend. Gorillas living in the wild have a life expectancy of about 40 years, and at 65, she has been the world's oldest living gorilla for a while. 65 is absolutely extraordinary, and that obviously needs to be celebrated in style.
They mainly get vegetables, and the sugar they receive at most is fruit sugar, and that's what she saw for today in the shape of raspberries and blueberries. They were the decoration on rice cake made of boiled rice, a thin layer of rice and some curd so it sticks together. The bottom was made of a lot of green stuff, then the lion and lettuce.
According to Berlin Zoo, Western lowland gorillas are now an endangered species after their natural habitat was continuously decimated, and therefore fewer and fewer animals live in the tropical rainforest of Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Gabon, and the Republic of Congo. The World of Opera is opening its doors to the deaf community for the very first time. The Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra has teamed up with the Deaf West Theater to stage a production of Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio, at their home at the Walt Disney Hall. The chorus will be performed by the White Hands Choir, a group from Venezuela consisting of disabled children and young adults who sing as well as sign. The production pairs up a singer and a deaf actor to both inhabit the one role on stage. Having deaf actors perform alongside opera singers, however, has its challenges, not least of which is keeping up the rhythm of the music.
I think probably that there's a lot of tempo that I've been rehearsing. A lot of times when the singers hold the same word, but the next time they say that exact same word in the next few bars, they don't hold it as long. So trying to remember all of those is very difficult. So are they holding this for four beats or two beats? Or what word is this in this thing?
I feel like the challenge with opera is that it's very fluid and it's not repetitive. The tempos change throughout it, and night to night it even changes. The conductor, you know, kind of changes how he conducts things each night, and so that is something that is challenging.
The opera singers also give small cues to the actors, like opening a letter or sitting down or standing up, to keep them informed where they are in the piece. The deaf cast use theatrical ASL, or American Sign Language, in the production. DJ Kurse, the producer at the Deaf West Theater, says the performance is a little bit more poetic and a little bit more kind of picturesque.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the social aspect of fasting.
Oh Ramadan,
month of mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan, month of mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
Today, Wednesday, is the 25th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter of Rahman, verses 33 to 34.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا معشر الجن والإنس إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان.
O company of jinn and mankind, if you are able to pass beyond the regions of the heavens and the earth, then pass. You will not pass except by authority from Allah.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse in question is saying, O jinn and men, if you truly intend to evade divine recompense and chastisement, make an attempt to transcend the boundaries of the heavens and the earth, and thereby leave the bounds of His omnipotence. However, you may never embark upon the same unless through divine might, and such might is not at your disposal. You may never evade the tribunal of divine justice. Wherever you go, you shall be divine realm. Wherever you stand, it shall be His sovereignty. We're going to speak about the social aspect of fasting. This is our topic for this episode of today's special. During Ramadan, it is traditional for Muslims to collect and donate to charities. Communities come together to donate to local mosques for good causes. This time is a period of reflection for many. Many find new awareness of their lives and find feelings of gratefulness. Giving to charity is just as important as fasting. Ramadan is also known as the month of selflessness and charity. The month of Ramadan develops spiritual, social, and moral values. During this time, the poor are given attention and charity, and faith led neighborhoods practice hospitality. Fasting aims to establish equality between the rich and poor, and the rich experience hunger and learn to show respect and appreciate the less fortunate.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-sa'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about the social effects of fasting. First of all, Islamic rituals and Islamic religious observances have many aspects dimensions. One of them is the individual effects. Another one is the social effects or social influence. In this connection, it must be indicated that fasting has got some social aspects or social effects. According to certain Islamic rites and rituals, we find that even performing daily prayers cannot be devoid of social effects. For example, we find that when people attend mosques and in Shia communities, Hosseinias and so on, for the sake of performing congregational prayers, the mere attending mosques and performing congregational prayers, it indicates that they are together. And since a community of believers get together, they develop a sense of helping each other. Receiving and giving mutual help. In this connection, we find that fasting is no exception in this regard. Certainly, according to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth of infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who said, إِنَّمَا فَرَضَ اللَّهُ الصِّيَامُ لِيَسْتَوِ بِالْغَنِيِّ وَالْفَقِيرِ. It has been the case that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it incumbent and mandatory to observe fasting so that the rich and the poor would be the same. As we know, the poor people usually receive less food, and they are not as wealthy people as, well-to-do people in terms of enjoying certain aspects of this worldly life. Because of this, we find that people are expected, everybody is expected to observe fasting, and the initial or the basic level of fasting is enduring thirst and hunger throughout the daytime.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind. Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
This part, social benefits of fasting in Ramadan, and from its least, we choose increasing sympathy for the poor. One of the other social benefits of fasting in Ramadan is to experience the feelings of others. Thus, you can sympathize with the poor, help them, and be grateful to Allah for His favor on you. The other benefit is having solidarity spirit. As the devils are chained up in the month of Ramadan, Muslims are ready to exert more effort to help others in this month. Also, as the reward doubles in the month of Ramadan, we hurry to serve our society. For sure, this is recommended in general, but in Ramadan, it is highly recommended since the reward is doubled. From social effects of Ramadan, fasting develops dignity. People who have persevered against hardships, such as hunger and thirst, and have thus trained their body and soul, can challenge and overcome every difficulty they may encounter in life. Hunger and thirst cease to be great threats for such people. Hunger pains are no longer a chain that holds them back. Such people can protect their self-respect and dignity at any cost. They will not beg for money or food even when they are hungry. Yogis can go on living without food or drink for 6 months, even though they are not seeking the pleasure of Allah. Therefore, it is not hard to understand how believers feel secure that with the help and consent of their Lord, they can easily endure more physical suffering without degrading themselves before other people if they fall on hard times. But those who have never fasted and thus immunized their body against hunger will most probably abase themselves and begin to beg for food in order to satisfy their hunger when they find themselves having to do without.
To come towards the ibadah, we have to strengthen our ibadah. Teach yourself. You know, it's very difficult for you to just start all from the beginning going and doing all of the ibadah all at once. Teach yourself. Discipline yourself. Just like when you want to go and run in a marathon, you want to go and play a sport, you go and you discipline yourself. You go and exercise. You warm up. Start by praying 2 rak'ahs. You can't pray. Salat al-Layl is 11 rak'ahs. If you can't do all the 11 rak'ahs, start by doing the shaf and the what. If you can do more, do more. Recite the du'as, recite the munajat that are there for us. One day Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he passes by a very old person who was paralyzed and blind and he has leprosy. So no one could come near him. He has a skin disease. And he's paralyzed and he's blind. Isa, he asks him, Kaifa asbahat? How do you feel today? He tells him, Ya Ruh Allah, asbahtu fi ahsan al-ahwal. Oh Ruh Allah, I feel at my best right now. He tells him, how? You're suffering. You have a skin disease. You're paralyzed. You're blind. No one comes near you. He tells him, Ya Ruh Allah, Inna lisani lam yanqati' an dhikrillah. Oh Ruh Allah, the only thing that I have left is a tongue that moves. And that tongue keeps reminding me of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have the dhikr of Allah. I feel very good right now. This is how we should train ourselves during the month of Ramadan, my dear brothers and sisters.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Please keep us in your prayers and du'as. And there is nothing else, just fi amanillah.
جلسة القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجلسة القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.